you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Coming to the end of Ephesians. One of the great powers a professor has, one of the few, most of these students are not afraid, is to strike fear in them through quizzes and tests. That is the only power I have as a teacher. Otherwise, they have no respect. I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of seminary professors. They give me no respect. So what I thought I'd do is, you know, I've been preaching through this book, and you know me, I tell you, I was talking this to the class last Thursday. Why do they tell you that the preacher can't have someone interrupt him and say, or why are you saying that, preacher? You know what I mean? And I played Fiddler on the Roof in class, tradition, because, you know, they tell you, they get these guys into what's called, the fancy term is homiletics, sermon prep, and they teach them, it's a one-way street. You preach, and no, you have to sit there, and people are probably thinking, I wonder how my roast is doing in the oven, or they're thinking, why did he say that, or what in the wide world? I disagree with him. You know, you're free to interrupt me. So I figure you got to be a little unconventional. So today the only power I have is quiz time. Take out a sheet of paper. Take out a pencil. This is going to be true or false. So you got a 50-50 shot. And I know why I'm doing this too is because I know you're cold. The heat doesn't work. So I've got to deflect your attention. And by the way, Jesse, I'm sorry I couldn't play for the playoffs like you asked me to do. No, I'm kidding, Jesse. I'm going to give you a quiz. Let's see if what we're teaching about the church registers. Let's see how you do. True, false, and I'll give you the answer immediately after you do it. Ready? Are you ready? Yes. Better be careful and think about these because I'm devious. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you a few other things. Ask her about her term of affection she has for me since we were married. I'm in trouble now. Huh? True or false? Are you ready? True or false? Wait, I'm trying to... I have these little notes. I got to figure out... Cop in him, you know? All right. Arrest him. Here we go. True or false? You went to church this morning. True or false?
False.
I'm serious. True or false? You drove, went to church. True or false?
False.
The answer is...
False.
False. You drove to a building. You are the church. You didn't drive.
I drove to us.
You didn't drive. Listen, the Cox and crew family is big enough they can have church on their own. You have not, I have not gotten across to you yet. You are the church. You can't drive to the church. You come to a building. Okay? Let's see how you do on this one. True or false? What?
We came to gather with
this is why, see, I get no respect. Yes, but you didn't go to church. You are the church.
We came to meet together as believers.
She's out,
we went
to church.
I grade on class attitude also in all of my syllabus. Class attitude. This is what I get from some of these people. True or false? True or false? You are in church right now. True or false? True or false? You are in church right now. That's false. You're in a building. But you're not in something. You are something. This, I told you this is going to be tough. You got to start thinking like the Bible. You are the church. You're not in a church. You didn't drive to it. You drove to a building. You're in the building. Ladies, when they go to their Bible studies, how many 50 a week do you ladies go to these Bible studies? How many a week? That's part of the expression of a church when the Bible study is there. You don't have to belong to a particular church. Membership is in a physically expressed localized church, but you're a member of the church whether you join or not. And we can church discipline you whether you're a member of our... Ask Cheryl to look up when I say that. Okay. It's true or false? This is what the Bible teaches. True or false? Churches have steeples and crosses. True or false? Unless you're tattooed. No, they don't. What does the Bible... I was at a Baptist church, a fundamentalist Baptist church in Northridge, had a big Bible out in the front, and Cheryl knows which church, and I had a guy get up, and because the Old Testament says you can't have tattoos, they felt any Christian, well, you're not under the Old Covenant, if you want a tattoo, have at it. It means nothing. And they tattooed themselves as marks of their gods. So if you have a tattoo, please, like Jeff, just feel free to display it. He has mom across here, so don't worry about it. That's Old Testament, Old Covenant.
Says
Dave. True or false? The church can have broken windows.
False.
True or false? The church can have lack of heat with just the wind blowing. That is false. The church has no heat problem. This building has a heat problem. See how you're learning? True or false? A church can be at a restaurant. True or false? True or false? We could tear the carpet out, put in some nice heaters, have a nice big fire pit and roast s'mores while the preacher preaches. True or false? That's true. It's because you've been psychologically operated on to think in a certain way. The clergy has done this to you. It is not, the Bible has great flexibility in terms of how God's people worship. Do not get into that. You must think biblically. I know I'm making some people... True or false? The church can catch fire. That's a trick question. So, somebody said true. What do you mean the church can catch fire? You know, when I was a kid, they always had revivals. Some revivalist would come in for a week, you know, and not only did you have church Wednesday or Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. You know why somebody asked me, where did midweek prayer service came from? The preachers discovered that by the time Sunday rolled out again, the people cooled down spiritually, so they decided to have a midweek intervention. And then that wasn't enough. They'd have some revivalist come in, and my grandmother, they told me they used to pay him with chickens. True or false, the church can catch fire. I think that's false myself. If the church is in a building, how can it catch fire? You are meaning figuratively. But if the church isn't on fire for God, then what does the Bible call something like that in Revelation? True or false, a church has doors. True or false, a church has a piano and drums. Then what's this? True or false, a church can be split in an earthquake. Church can be split over doctrine. A church can be split over teaching. A church can be split over... But earthquakes never harm a church. It'll harm our building. Who's standing over the disco ball? Did any visitors know we have a disco ball up there? That's been here before I ever got here. When did that disco ball get here? For those of you who can... Ralph's not here. Is he okay? So true or false? Church can have disco balls. False. But a building can. Here's one last one. I think it's the last one. A church can be built in 6 months or less. A building can, but you know what? We're finding out that God's still building His church.
Amen.
It's not completed. And when it is, that's when I think Jesus Christ will return. Now, do you see that you need to see the church not as a physical entity in the sense of a building? Any questions on that quiz? How did you do? What now? But each one of us, we're going to find out this morning, are individual bricks of the building. So that's part of the construction. And the church will never be complete until the last person is in the church. And then I believe that's when Jesus Christ will come for us, when His building is complete. Now let's go back into Ephesians chapter 2. Some of those were very hard questions. So the next time somebody says to you, are you going to drive to church today? No, but I'm going to go to a building so that I can meet with the bricks of the building. Anyway. Notice what it says next in verse 21 as we continue this. See, isn't it better when you can interact with the crazy preacher to learn? It's just better. Being fitted together is growing. Now notice what that says. It's still a process. I told you about the Herodian temple, didn't I? The first temple of the Jews was destroyed by the Babylonians. They came back. They rebuilt. And remember on Wednesday night, what did the old men who remembered the temple, the first Solomonic temple, what did the old men do when they got back? What was their response? They cried. Why? They remembered the glory of Solomon's temple. And what? We get this. It was just a little thing. And then after that, it existed for 500 years, and Herod in 20 BC began to rebuild it until it was the loveliest, beautiful, most great structure in all of the world. Gold, silver, you name it. 63 AD, it was finished. It took him, 20 BC to 60 AD, 80 years. And guess what? 7 years later in 70 AD, down it went. But it says here, God's temple, the true temple, is still growing. This is a dynamic, living body. So what do? That means this, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to now turn to put your finger here and go with me to the Gospel of John. This now shows you why so many things have changed in the new covenant. John 4. The woman at the well, the Samaritan, you know what Samaritans were. Half Gentile, half Jew. And the Jews wanted to kill them and they wanted to kill the Jews. And this Samaritan woman starts talking with Jesus, and she says, you know, I hear you Jews want us to go to your temple, but you won't let us in. And Jesus said, believe me, woman, an hour is coming, verse 21 of chapter 4, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. Now get that. Guess what? The hour came. You are the temple. There are no more physical temples. Now I know you've been taught by Hal Lindsey and the great late Planet Earth to look somehow forward to a temple in Jerusalem. Well, that will not have Jesus and the Father, the true God's blessing. Why? That will be the Antichrist temple. Number two, Hebrews completely removes the idea of the need for temple and physical sacrifice. Listen to me, that's what the Bible teaches. I don't care what theologians teach. I'm a rebel. Join with me in my rebellion. I do not, it could be constructed. They already have, I hear rumors that they have all the things ready. They're just waiting. And look at those people walking out on me because I said that. Actually, they told me they would leave at 20 up, and I'm embarrassing the daylights like, mwah, mwah. I've had that. I told you about the people that I started saying something I could tell they didn't like, and they went out there. If you're going to walk out on me, please, don't go out there because you'll get stuck out there and then you can't get out. So they went out there, looked around trying to get out, couldn't find it. They had to come back in on me. This happens all the time. I'm used to this. Anyway, Jesus said this, God, He is spirit, and you who worship Him, you don't go to temple, you are the temple. You worship Him in spirit. Listen to me, you can't put God in a house, you can't put God in a building. Jesus said, where two or three gather together, God's dwelling is there. I'm there. You know, the thing is, invisibility. Why should you stumble? Right now, there's air in this building. Can you see it? Well, you can feel it. And that's why you're all cold. You can't see the air. There are many things invisible. Listen to me. More real than the oxygen molecules and all of the asbestos of this building, listen to me, Jesus Christ is here. This is His temple. He indwells you. God is present. He is here. You worship because God can't be confined to a building. The thing that want to really get starting to think about this, how large the universe is, they don't even know. I laugh when these scientists measure 15 billion light years. That's as far as they can see. And every time they focus in on a place where it looks like that's blank, end of space, they just have another picture that they released within the last year or so. They find millions of these galaxies that are bigger than ours out in that blank space. How much is this? How big is this place? And yet, listen to me. David said, I could go to the furthest part and guess what? God is there. You can't confine Him. He dwells in you now. Temples are so old school, old covenant. That's not how God does it in the new covenant. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, going back to Ephesians. If we are the temple and we don't... You know, that I can be thankful that I get mocked because when I was a kid, I shouldn't have done it. People mock me. I had a BB gun. And little kids don't think. And I honestly feel bad. By the way, we had a raccoon this morning at our house. 2:45, 3 in the morning. Sandy wakes me up. Wake up, wake up. Do you hear that? And I have a sound machine and I turned it off. And sure enough, it went. Do you ever hear something? How did it go, Sandy? Something like that. And I had never heard. I didn't know what it was. I was worried that a coyote had gotten a little puppy or something. You know me. And we kept hearing this and noise on the thing. And I grabbed the flashlight, all of our chihuahuas and stuff. We made sure we're in the house. And then I open up the back door that has a screen on it, shine the light. And there was the biggest raccoon you have ever seen in your life. He was big. Why do I bring that up? Well, I'm so thankful that we don't need physical temples where we have... I could not harm. Can you imagine? You fathers who are heads of the family, I think you put your hands on that precious little lamb. Not a big, but a little lamb. And it looks at you with those eyes. We took Rachel when in Alabama and they have these petting zoos. And I'll never forget, she was about 2 or 3, and this little precious little white little lamb, cute as a button, liked to go up to little kids and kind of nudge them a little bit, like pet me. And I just looked at it. How could you put your hands on that thing and then you'd be required to take some form of a knife and cut its throat for Passover? Or many of you grew up on farms where you had, I guess you got used to it, but the precious little cows that want to lick, and you'd have to put your hands on those animals. I'm the guy that shot the frog. I couldn't do it. What would I do? Thank God We don't offer that anymore. We are the temple. And now, let me show you the kind of sacrifices that we do as a church. Not as a building, but as a church. First, turn to Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. You want to give God a sacrifice. We are in the sacrifice business. But it's different now. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, Him, let us continually offer up what? Sacrifice of what? Okay, what does praise mean? Okay, I used to remember my grandmother. I told you my grandmother would go up and down the aisles of the church, woo, glory, and I would sink down into that. She was one of those holiness people, you know what I mean? You ever grow up in that type of, woo? Well, we're supposed to offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, that means this. I honestly can't complain about the rain. Why? Thank God. Rain is a sign of God's blessing. We heard that at the inauguration. It's true. When that preacher first said that, I thought to myself, well, and you know, it is right. That's how Israel viewed things. When they got rain, that grew the crops and they could eat. It's a sign. So God's thank the Lord for the rain. What the church now offers as the temple of God is thanksgiving. It shouldn't be just one day a year where you have turkey. Our family never has to buy a turkey because they tell me that when I'm at the Thanksgiving table, there is a turkey there. I don't know what that means, but the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips. So the first thing we offer, you can do that, can't you? The sacrifice of praise, thanking God on that. Sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? But we offer the sacrifice of praise. Here's another sacrifice we can offer. Romans 12:1. Turn to Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your what? What does that mean, to present your body a living sacrifice? It means this: you're sold out, surrendered, dedicated to God. You live for Jesus Christ, and that is whom you follow and serve. That's a sacrifice. Amen. Now, that's what that's saying. You want the practical nature of it is, he's just using the analogy of Old Testament sacrifice, saying what you ought to really do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I live for you. That's what that means. You want a sacrifice this morning? Don't grab a lamb. Lord, I'm yours. I urge you. You're the sacrifice. You're not only the building, the individual brick, but to please God, you're the sacrifice. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. And I want to explain something to you. And I'm going to make people mad, and you know I'm a rebel. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, what is that talking about? Well, I know many preachers that say you shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. That's not what that's talking about. Cigarettes will ruin your physical body and you shouldn't do it. But I don't know if it's a moral sin. What he's talking about is these people at Corinth would go up to the temple that was a completely pagan temple, and part of their worship service was sexual orgies. And so they not only would go to church, but they would then, so it's talking about, not about smoking or whatever some preacher says, but about what? Visiting this kind of temple where these things went on is what he's referring to. We go to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, Verse 4, coming to him as a living stone, that's what you are. What are buildings made out of in that day? Physical stones. You're a living stone. You're choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Guess what? You're priests. You offer sacrifice. But what kind of sacrifices do you offer? Huh? Praise, dedication of yourself to the Lord. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. God will not accept animal sacrifices anymore. Hebrews says he's finished that. You give yourself. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. And then he's going to give the negative. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected became the very cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they were disobedient to the word, which he is referring to the nation of Israel that crucified their Messiah. And to this they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. So those of you who say, ladies, you're part of that. It's a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people because you have received mercy. There it is. You can't drive the church. You are the church. You can't be in a church. You're not only a church, you're part of God's true temple. It can't be ever broken windows, cracked and broken, whatever. This is what it is. And the only way you harm the church, listen to me now, the only way you harm a church is not by drinking coffee and having s'mores in the middle of the worship center. I'll tell you how you harm the church is when the stones of the temple, those spiritual stones, are not kind and loving and doing good things for each other and helping. That's how you damage the church now. So that means the preacher's going to irritate you. We're going to irritate each other sometimes. And what we have to need to know is, Lord, I don't want to harm your church. Help me with brother such and such. Help me with that dumb preacher that says so many things that irritate the life out of me, so that we can grow into a temple, a building, a spiritual place of sacrifice that pleases God. And that's what we're doing. Next week we move on to chapter 3 of Ephesians.